Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Hello, this is Tom Brokaw, and welcome once again to In the Name of Game, a video game podcast. Today is September 15th, 2011.
Back again, another show for you. Today we got a lot of different things to talk about. Some things that David is not exactly enthusiastic about, but they will be interesting.
I'm so excited.
Should be totally enthusiastic.
Anyways, I'm your host, Iggy.
I'm co-host David.
And I'm the other co-host, Colin.
Yes. And let's start with the less offensive one. I'm sorry, and I'm still laughing at how you're going to be mad about the stuff we're talking about later. So actually, something that just popped up that I thought was pretty funny was a lot of the discussion about Dead Island recently. And if people didn't know, there already was a previous hoopla about Dead Island on the PC because... the Steam version...
It kind of sucks.
You know, it sucks because what happened is for the Steam version, when they released it, first of all, they released it accidentally a little early, and it was either debug or developer version, which means it still was crazy full of bugs. Like, people accidentally no clipping through things and all... it's like stuff popping and disappearing and... a lot of just chaos and not a very good first impression for playing a game. You're like, can you imagine you plunk down, was it $40-something, $50 for a game? Oh, getting ready for some good old zombie action. And all of a sudden, all this fucking crap is happening while you're trying to play the game. So, that did not rub people the right way.
How can a high-profile game like this have its release so mucked up? I mean, how is it possible? It's like these guys, you know, were partying. We're like, yeah, we're dropping this game. It's going to be great. And they all got really, really drunk off some really cheap liquor, and then they pushed the wrong button. And all this, you know, all of a sudden they uploaded the developer's version. Everything's on debug mode, and people are no clipping.
Somebody accidentally pressed this big red release button.
Well, like, have you seen what Valve did, like, when they released Half-Life 2? I mean, like, they had Gabe stand at this thing and just had a big red button that said, you know, release Half-Life 2. It's like, oh, maybe they installed an extra button next to it that said, totally fuck up your release. Here, I'm going to push this one, guys.
Well, that one was different because somebody leaked that beta, right?
No, so... I mean when they officially, you know, that's when they opened Steam. That's when they opened Steam for the first time, is when they released Half-Life 2. And so, like, I mean, I've seen pictures of Gabe standing there, and he, like, pulls a lever, and it's, you know, it's like some Rube Goldberg machine. Some shit happens. But, I mean, it just basically rolls down to, like, there was just a huge button, and somebody pushed the wrong one.
Oh, that's...
You know, that's like that episode of Ren and Stimpy where it's like they have this button that ends the world, but they push it anyway.
Big it's like, I can't resist candy-like pushing. Button. Yeah. No, I didn't know that, actually.
Is there a they do that for every release, I think.
Is there a video of that original?
No, but there are pictures. We should probably post a link afterwards. That'd be helpful.
There's so many things that I wish there were video references of. Like, that would be one of them. And the other one was that historic moment where, if you've ever even heard of Ultima Online, when Richard Garriott, who was supposed to be, like, unkillable and, you know, the creator of the series, was killed randomly by this dude right after he was like, nobody could kill the king of Ultima. And then just, like, fucking grenades him. And everyone's like, oh my God. Like, because you just see his character fucking die. Anarchy. Just complete anarchy. But that's back in the day where, like, there was no fraps. You know, who's going to be capturing that? Yeah. And, you know, of course, the codex, you'd be making, like, a gig size clip just for, you know, 30 seconds of video. But, yeah, there's a bunch of those kind of things I really wish there were videos of. But getting back to Dead Island. So I think maybe all of this was wrapped around people's, like myself included, expectations of the game because of that amazing teaser trailer that was made for them. Because I know, I'm sure I'm not alone when I say that I was totally expecting a different experience from it. I mean, it ended up being very, very straightforward in the actual game that was released. But I thought what I was going to be getting originally was a much more emotional, poignant, you know, experience. Like, what you show a family getting fucked up by zombies, how that's, you know, terrible, tragic. What if there were more of those moments and that was just the game? You know, you're interacting with people, trying to get people together, rather than, hey, pick up this weapon. Yeah, let's kill some zombies. I'm a tough, you know, chick that's gonna... It turns into a big stereotype as soon as you start playing it. But it had the potential. I mean, there's already Left 4 Dead if you want a good first player zombie experience. And I know people are going to say, okay... Dead Island is more like melee based, and it's not so much about the guns because they're rare and whatever. But still, if they were going to make a zombie game during this glut of zombie games right now, they really missed their chance to make an impact with something that felt, that could have felt more real. You know, you don't have to have a glut of zombies coming at you constantly. If you had it more about the people, which that's why Left 4 Dead works, because it's really more about the people.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
What, that it's about the characters?
Well, it depends on, like, how you play, because I know that, you know, maybe I play, like, a little more character-driven. I mean, should I cosplay characters from Left 4 Dead?
Well, I know.
So, I mean, I'm more connected myself. But, I mean, some people that, you know, I play with, some good friends of mine are, like, they don't even, sometimes they don't even know the player names. Like, they don't know Ellis, they don't know Francis, they don't know Zoe, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
But there's always going to be, like, a subsection of fans that are like that, though. I mean, every game has it where, like, oh, I'm just going to cut straight to the multiplayer because that's all I really care about. Whereas, you know, somebody like me as a fan would always play the single player, the story mode first, and then go to the other stuff, you know, after the fact. Yeah. But that kind of boils down to preference. But I know their purpose was to have characters that you would care about. And it shows because, you know, for the first time around or the first go-through that people usually play any of the Left 4 Deads, you end up paying more attention to their little conversations and kind of mannerisms and that kind of thing. And it's more effective. And then you got even the walls are basically a character because all the stuff.
That's what Valve always does, though. They do that in every single game. Like,
but I mean, it works because it's making you care more about, like, it's not really the zombie. It's the people that are surrounded by the whole zombie menace situation that you care about. It's not the zombies themselves, although, you know, they're fun to kill, but it's
fun to play as. That's the best part of that game.
Yeah, but like, I found myself, unlike Dead Island, I found myself in a lot of cases in Left 4 Dead because they had just enough information that they put forth, you know, on the walls, like those messages and things, thinking to myself, like, I wonder what would have happened to these people that wrote these messages. Like, some of them sound like, you know, wow, they're really running out of hope, or other people are really goofy or something. Like,
Chicago Ted.
Yeah, Chicago Ted strikes again or something on there. And it made it feel more real because of those little hints, you know? It wasn't, I mean, obviously it's a video game, duh. But, I mean, they weren't really doing it from, like, a typical video game angle. They were trying to, it almost feels more like you're stuck in a story in like a novel or something, and you have to kind of wade your way through it and pick out, like, the details and, like, piece together the story that way, which takes more work, but I think in some ways is a little more rewarding than just having somebody spit out exposition in your face. Yeah.
That's where Valve's always succeeded, I think.
Yeah.
They have an interesting way of telling stories.
Yeah, but I'm not sure exactly what the figures are for Dead Island so far. I know a lot of people, like, I watch a lot of Let's Play videos on YouTube from various people, and I know that a lot of people have been doing Let's Plays, but I don't know if they necessarily enjoy it. You know, maybe they're expecting, like, oh, people really want to see Let's Plays of Dead Island right now, so let's just do them, you know. And my understanding is that, you know, if you're playing co-op, it's obviously more fun.
Yeah.
But it definitely still feels like it was a big letdown compared to what, you know, could have been.
I hate botch game releases.
Francis.
Yeah.
I hate stairs. I hate
vests. I don't hate vests.
is that actually what you said? Like, usually...
Yeah, somebody asked, Francis, what don't you hate? And he goes, I don't hate vests. That's what he says.
He hates everything. He's pretty... He's your role model.
Yeah, he is. I always play as Francis when I play the first Left 4 Dead.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway,
I hate vampires.
Oh God, vampires.
Go on.
So that's Dead Island. That's the disappointment of the week, the month.
I'd say the whole year. I mean,
that's
disappointment of the week.
Well, I couldn't really.
We should have a segment. We should have a segment every week. Disappointment of the week.
Disappointment of the week.
That's not a bad. You know what? That's not a bad idea.
We'll write it down. Write it down.
Onto something there.
I'm on
to
everything.
Becoming an even more negative podcast than it used to be.
Oh, come on. Oh,
you're talking about got me on it. It's going to be inherently negative.
Speaking of negativity, I had an interesting experience this week.
Whoa, that's
okay. This is not something new. This is something I've kind of been annoyed about for a long time, ever since ever since there were such things as like gaming communities. And it really comes down to fanaticism in fans. And before you start saying, you know, oh, pot, oh, kettle, one of you is black. You know, pot
calling. Pot in the kettle.
Black. Yes. Anyway. Anyway, I am admittedly a big fan of certain genres, certain games. You know, I draw fan art. I do all the little fan kind of things. But what I always forget about is there's like stages of this crazy fan fanaticism.
Fan person.
Fan person?
Let's not be sexist. We'll say not fanboy, not fangirl. Fan
well, that's
person.
The thing. I don't want to say fangirl, although in my particular case, it was a bunch of fucking crazy fangirls. But you'll have, you know, the really low level, it's kind of like three groups, right? You got the really low levels that are like, oh, I play this game, it's cool. And then that's kind of it. Like, you don't really delve deeper than that. And then you get my group, which is like, oh, well, you know, these characters are pretty interesting. I'm going to, you know, since I draw, I might as well, you know, draw one of the characters. And
since I'm a writer, I'll write. Or since I like to cosplay, I'm going to dress up as Ella.
Exactly. So you have that next stage, which is still not like crazy because you're at least using your creativity to, you know, do something. And then you have this group that I interacted with this week, which is the batshit crazy fan, in this case, fan girls. I will say they're crazy fucking fan boys.
They're crazy in a different way, I think.
Well, this is how it goes. My particular case was with Dragon Age 2, a very specific case. I know, right? Well, but see, that's almost asking for it, right? Because the characters that are in this game are just begging to have, like, crazy fucking fans, like, make shrines to them and things. But anyway, so all I did on my Tumblr was draw a picture of this guy named Anders, who's kind of like a tragic character, sort of interesting, but I didn't really give that much of a shit about him. And a very short paragraph about, like, you know, he kind of pissed me off in the game because of this and that. But, you know, he's an interesting character regardless, whatever. And, of course, since Tumblr is full of crazy random, you know, stalker nut jobs from time to time, I get all these really long fucking responses. Like, if you put it in a Word document, it would probably be, like, 2 or 3 page responses, which is nuts, saying like, oh, you don't understand Anders, oh, you know, he had reasons for doing the things he did. And I made the mistake at first. I thought, well, maybe they just, you know, they're fans of this character, they're giving their opinion. I feel like they've maybe misunderstood my opinion, so I'll just say, like, look, this is what I was trying to say, which was a mistake.
And they got mad again. They got even madder.
Well, my feeling was, this dude does something that kind of borders on like a terrorist activity towards the end of the game. And I'm like, dude, that's retarded. Now you've crossed over into an annoying character for me. Overall, I still like you, but annoying at this moment. But they chime in with these crazy, like, reasons why what he did was right. And, you know, he totally should have done it, like, from the get-go. And I'm like, okay. And it's this level of fanaticism that always makes it feel like, dude, do you think I just slapped you in the face? Like, they're taking it very personally. There were a couple, granted, I don't want to make this a whole blanketed situation. Like, there were a couple people that had been fans, and they were like, you know, you got your opinion, I got mine. We may not agree to disagree. That was the end of it. Those people are fine. I have no problem with them because they're not at the batshit level. But then these guys come out of the woodwork, and it's like, you know what? I'm done.
You can't reason with people like that.
That's the problem. Like,
you just can't reason.
I made the mistake of thinking that these were reasonable people. Because they have the guise of, you know, good grammar, well-written sentences. And then at a certain point, there's that, like, light switch that goes, oh, yeah, you're fucking nuts. I forgot.
Have you seen that Rocco episode where one guy's standing there talking about a comic and the other guy turns to him and goes, wow, you're an idiot.
That's exactly what happened.
That's like, in the pilot.
That's right. But that's,
it was the pilot, I think.
That's exactly what happened. But like, I can't say the wow, you're an idiot because they have blinders on. They have blinders on. If I say anything after that, that just opens these fucking floodgates where it's like, I'm never going to, they're going to be like dogs gnawing on your heels. Like, you're never going to fucking get rid of them, like leeches or some shit. So I thought, you know what? Forget it. I don't really care about Anders that much. I'm just not going to draw him again. And I'm certainly sure as hell not going to talk about him again on this fucking thing. There's way more characters that I could draw or whatever that people.
There's a lot better games you can draw.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, these people. Here's an indication of how nuts they are, because maybe it sounds like I'm overreacting, but here's the kicker. There are a bunch of people that wrote these long responses and then ended them with these little virtual high fives of like, and I'm part of the cult of Anders, or I'm an Anders warrior. Literally, this person said that. I'm proud to be an Anders warrior. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
It's like a signature, like they're on one of those old style forums.
But it's nuts. Like, what? Are you serious? Like, get away from me. You're crazy. Like, thank God the internet is mostly anonymous. Because it's like, I have no desire to ever get within, like, several hundred miles of you. Just stay away.
They may live next door to you and you don't even know.
Oh, God. That. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss, all right? It's definitely. But overall, it reminded me when I was thinking back about it, about how a lot of the gaming community has this sort of problem with, like, the fanatics. Like, Call of Duty's just as bad in some cases. You get the crazy fucking people that will jump on you for, you know, saying like, oh, I don't know if I like this map or something. And it's like you stepped on their baby. You know, like, what?
Wah,
wah. No. Not that they're saying wah, but it incenses them so extremely. Like, this is actually more incensed than, like, me getting mad about the Star Wars re-release stuff. Like, it's like, wow, you've reached a level that I cannot even hope or want to match. You know, you get away. Just get the fuck away. But I wish people would realize, like, look, much like other fanatics and other kinds of media, it's just a game. These aren't real people. These aren't people. Like, ding dong, not real people. They're fictional characters.
No, they're not.
People can have opinions on fictional characters, and it's not like they're stabbing.
Scout and Medic OTP forever.
Oh, God, yes.
Scout and Medic OTP.
Same thing. Team Fortress 2, just as guilty.
What do you think drove me away? Well, besides the game turning shitty, what do you think drove me away from that game?
Well, some people, like, you can't, you know, it just like.
It didn't used to be that bad. Look, I'm going to admit it. I mean, you know, I was on TF2 chan for a while because at first I thought, well, at first it was like, it was just a bunch of people drawing TF2 characters being yay. But it was like, but at the same time, it was kind of self-effacing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're kind of making fun of themselves at the same time. But then after that, it turned like. They weren't making fun of themselves anymore, and it was just like, okay, I'm
like
thinking
something,
about time
some,
to...
Something gets warped and twisted at a certain point, yeah. And people get really too attached, and they think, like, it's theirs, when really, a game belongs to everybody, just like the Star Wars thing. Like, it's a communal thing, you know? Like, everybody,
it belongs to George Lucas.
Exactly, but like these guys are like, no, he's my Anders, or he's my
Han Solo.
Han Solo, yeah, exactly, and get very defensive. And
it's my Jar Jar Binks.
And I think it's a very damaging thing. So if anybody thinks that they may be on the verge of becoming a fanatic, just take a couple breaths. Say, look, this is for everybody to enjoy. Just like, let's You know, be a fucking hippie about it, okay? Just
step outside. Let's go get a coffee.
Down, yes.
Go get a coffee. Walk around the park. You know, walk your dog. Pick up its shit.
I mean, it doesn't help that it doesn't help that the internet has like a tendency to just make everybody batshit nuts at this point. like I that's even what I said the other day. Like every now and then, I just completely forget that people on the internet are crazy. Like I'll assume like. You know, I'll mistakenly give them the benefit of the doubt and say, like, this must be a reasonable person. If I say a reasonable statement, they would agree or disagree with a reasonable statement. No.
Nope. Nope.
Denied, you know, like, wrong. But yeah, that was my gripe of the week, because it's like, come on, guys. It's not worth getting all twisted, your knickers in a twist about it. And they're always really pathetic. Oh god. Anyway, so there's that.
There's that.
Don't quit getting mad at games.
Quit getting mad at video games.
like the meme says. Yeah. So in other.
So David, how about TGS? Huh.
I'm gonna download this episode when it comes out, and I'm gonna send it to you, Iggy.
Oh god.
And because and any time in the future from now on when you complain about anything, I'm Star going Wars. To play Star this, this Star Wars. Podcast for you.
You're missing, okay. You're missing the point, though, because, like...
The thing is that you are missing the point. Because uh-oh. About 50% of what you said, you had just described yourself. Like, I'm sorry to say that you are pretty much guilty of about half of everything that you just accused the internet
I said
of.
I was a fan. I didn't say I was a fanatic. This is quite different. Okay, I'll send you the Tumblr things, and you can read.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call trouble in paradise.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that you need to recognize that you are just as guilty of this.
I'm and not like, quite as.
You guilty. Even you even told me the other day when you were like, my coworkers were just laughing at me for how worked up I was getting over all this Star Wars stuff, and it's like, yeah. They are thinking that you're just as crazy as these people that you think are just as crazy.
Yeah, but am I telling somebody that I want to, like, I don't know. These guys, like I was saying before, these guys are on a completely different level.
Okay.
Something that you don't understand, but something that they are very, I don't know. Like, I think it's a lot of people that just, you know, a lot of them are, like, very introverted. A lot of them are writers, so, of course, this is why they write a shit ton of stuff as a response.
I just want to say, on behalf of writers everywhere, they do not represent us.
No, I fully understand that. That's, yeah. But, no, I just think, you know, in terms of games, like, it's not worth it. Just enjoy a game. Let other people enjoy it.
Quit getting mad at video games.
Yeah, quit getting mad. Oh, speaking of video games, there was that interesting article, actually, that you mentioned to me earlier from Joystick about Heavy Rain saying that they had lost some money.
Oh, Heavy Rain did lose money. Or, I don't even know what company made it. What company made Heavy Rain? I've totally forgot.
Quantic Dream.
Quantic Dream, yeah. Quantic Dream, yeah, there he is.
Yes.
Co-founder... I'm not even gonna attempt to say it.
Guillaume de Fondamier.
I don't know. I don't speak French. But anyway, it says Quantic Dream co-founder estimates the studio lost between 5 and 10 million euros, which is about $7 and $14 million worth of royalties on Heavy Rain because of used sales. And that's a complaint you hear from a lot of people, from a lot of companies. You know, companies like GameStop are cutting into profits for, you know, especially Ubisoft. EA, the Activisions of the world. So, I mean, but what's interesting about that is that, about this one, is that he does admit that, yeah, it did cut into our profits, but at the same time, he said, you know, 3 million people didn't buy this game from us, they bought it used, or from their friends or whatever. And so he begins questioning whether our game's too expensive. Should we talk about this with gamers? Should we talk about this as an industry or what? I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I think it's funny though that he's actually wondering if games are too expensive. Just because I feel like if anything, they're almost cheaper. Like there's a lot more deals, for example, on games now than there used to be back in the day. Like we were just talking about this a while back that, you know, Nintendo games on the whole cost as much as games do now. You know, Mario 3 was I think 54 almost. Dude, high 50s,
which would be more expensive. Which would be more expensive, you know, due to inflation.
Due to inflation, yeah. I'll never forget saving up. It was, I remember it was $60, you know, like $59.99 to get Mega Man when I was little.
It was $50 to buy Sonic and Knuckles on the day it came out. I remember that. Dude, $50.
Yeah, so.
And I bet that would be like what, $80 nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, what you just said, right? Like an SNES and. Any SNES games at one point, some of them were like
$70.
Yeah,
like they got really costly.
Yeah,
can you and think of a game now that costs $70 that isn't like a collector's edition or something like that?
Well, to be fair, the cartridge costs were higher. To be fair,
but I mean, people were still paying these prices though. But we're talking purely like, you know, prices
on a demand level.
But I think like. What somebody was bringing up before is maybe on people's minds or the fact that maybe you feel like you're not getting the same value for your cost anymore. Like, I'm paying $50, but they just announced a week after it came out that there's already a ton of DLC planned. So
that pisses me off.
Some people...
Because, I mean, it'd be one thing if they had like a nice, you know, like a, let's say like a 30-hour game, and then they had all this DLC piled on top of it. It's almost like they cut out parts of the game. You know, I always think of the picture like, you know, back in the day, you bought the Mona Lisa, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just the Mona Lisa, and then it had after that, you know, in the age of expansion packs, it had the Mona Lisa, then it had like some other Leonardo pictures next to it, and then after that, it has like it'll have a picture of the Mona Lisa, but parts are cut out of it, and it says DLC. You know, this part is $5, this one is $10, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how I kind of feel about it sometimes.
Yeah. No, it definitely... I mean, even if people say... I think now there's maybe a certain level of distrust about DLC. Because what if... I mean, it could be totally valid that a developer planned their DLC way in advance. And they were able to keep a wide majority of the intended game in the game. But now people, when they see DLC announcements, of course the first thing they're going to think is, I wonder if this was just cut. And I wonder if there was, you know, especially like people or groups like Capcom and those guys, like you are instantly suspicious, like about DLC characters, especially when some people thought that, what's her face, Jill Valentine and Shuma Gorath, for example, from Marvel's Capcom 3 should have just been in the game because the code is already there. It's not like they added it after the fact. They're clearly cashing in on, you know, hey, pay $5 to have access to characters that are technically already on the disc.
Yeah, see, that's the sort of DLC that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Or when it was, you know, it's in there, you just are paying for the code to unlock it, pretty much.
But see, I think that is maybe what should be more accurate about people worrying about the price, quote-unquote, of video games. Because, yeah, the base price, which unfortunately is now what the game itself has become, the base... is not really the price anymore. Like, you have to really factor in, if I love this game, like even Deus Ex, they just announced they're going to have a DLC for this in-between time period that happens in the game, and I know exactly where that's supposed to fit in. But you wonder, okay, so how much is it for this DLC? And then how much is it going to be again for other DLC? And then you combine that price, and then that's the price that might be too expensive.
Yeah. You
know, for people. Yeah. Especially, like, there's a Fallout DLC coming out, and how many DLCs have they had? Quite a few. Although, to be fair, I've heard that the DLC, at least for Fallout, is a pretty decent length. So it's not like one of those things like, oh, I just unlocked something, and that's it.
Plus, they basically have an expansion pack to that game, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they have New Vegas. It's pretty much a whole new game, from what I understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, either they need to scale their prices better, so that people won't be so incensed at DLC, or they need to really take a tough look and say, look, we need to have more value in these games so that people aren't kind of left wanting. Because the worst thing you could do is have a gamer feel unsatisfied because they will remember that feeling the next time you either come out with a game or an add-on or something.
You sure about that? Because people keep buying Call of Duty. I mean, people buy Call of Duty every fucking year, and they complain about 5 maps being $15 every fucking year. But it's still the biggest, you know, it's still the biggest event every fucking year.
Well, part of that, I think, especially because Call of Duty has such a crazy large fan base, is that a lot of people... See, that's different from these single-player ones, just because a single-player DLC, sometimes you feel like, oh, just skip it. But it's going to make me mad that I have to skip it, because I know it's like part of the storyline or something I have to miss out on. But a lot of the Call of Duty maps, it almost feels to me like people feel kind of coerced into buying it, just because, you know, all my friends play these maps, but if I don't get the maps, I can't play with my friends for these levels, you know. So maybe it's kind of a weird balancing act for the big COD fans. Like, yeah, it does suck that it's $15, but I'm going to get five more maps that I can play with other people. So I don't know. I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to rationalize why people would be okay with, you know, that continuing expense. But they increased it, because I remember I used to be a big fan of World at War, and I think their DLC was more like $9.99. So at some point they were like, let's just hike up that price.
Yeah, so, I don't know if it had to do whether it was Treyarch or Infinity Ward.
No.
If it made a difference.
No.
Well, because Treyarch made World at War, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they don't decide pricing.
You sure? I guess it'd be more Activision's bag.
In general, not just Activision, but in general, it's almost always the publisher, you know, that side of it that has the final say in a lot of these cost issues. But somebody, I mean, because for the longest time, even with World at War, if you had the PC version, all those subsequent updates were free. And that definitely...
That's frustrating.
So for the console people, yeah, it sucks, but they were paying for it before. For the PC one... all of a sudden you're paying money. So that's that I can kind of sympathize with a little bit more, because that's a big jump, you know, from nothing to $15.
Yeah.
So it does kind of sting a bit. But yeah, so I think that is a valid thing, that Defondamure,
whatever, it doesn't matter.
The co-founder of Quantic Dream, like he's wondering about. I think if more companies actually were conscious of that fact while they were making their games, maybe it might make difference. Realistically, it might not. But it couldn't hurt to kind of keep that in mind. Like, let's make sure our players get value for their dollar.
I mean, they probably don't really care whether people are getting their value for their dollar, because, like I said, people are buying it anyway. So either, I mean, we can make the argument that, well, I mean, you could go either way in this argument that, you know, they are paying for it, therefore the demand is there. But on the other hand, I mean, could it be better, you know? And it could be better.
I do believe at a certain point there will be a drop-off. Maybe it won't be as fast as you like, but I think there will be a point where people are like, you know what, I don't think I could do this anymore. I mean, even if you look at the stats for, not just Call of Duty, but even other first-person shooters, when they have, like, map packs that come out, there's usually, unless there's something really crazy that they put in the map pack to entice people, there is usually a slow drop off in terms of profit, revenue, whatever.
Yeah.
That they get from each map pack. It might still be a ton of money for the company, but it is kind of an indicator that people are getting less pleased with the prospect of paying more and more money. Because if you add up... you know, $15, $15, $15 plus $49 for the game plus, you know, what if you get an avatar or some nonsense? That ends up being like, all of a sudden it's like $100 for a game.
Well, I wouldn't mind so much of games, the base price of it. I wish I wouldn't have to talk about this, but I wish the base price of a game was $30 or $40. I mean, that wouldn't be that bad.
Well, if you...
I think that's a lot more fair.
You're going to have to... get a game on like a handheld or something like that in order to...
Well, I mean, it's not even a matter of that. I mean, look at how obscene the profits are with some of these companies. I mean, EA's in the black. Activision's in the black. Ubisoft's in the black. All these big companies are in the black. And I mean, they're in the black big time. They make a ton of fucking money. But, I mean...
Well, the same thing could be said for even, you know, movies.
Well, I know,
but... Do they really need to charge like $20, almost $20 for... you know, 3D film.
I could bitch about that all day, but we're talking about video games here. So, I mean...
No, I'm just saying it's not like this is a new thing. You know, this is kind of almost this is almost just like a business thing, you know? Like,
I mean, I understand they need to make money, and they have to have profits to pay their workers. They're supposed to have profits for themselves, but, I mean, it just reaches a point, and this is the socialist in me talking. How much money do you really fucking need? I mean, how much money do these guys really need? I just don't get it.
But that's the thing. I just don't get it. They're going to try to get as much money as they can.
I know they can. I know they will, but that's frustrating because, I mean, who ends up getting hurt in the end? It's the consumer.
Well, not if they like the game.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's
I'm sure. I mean, see, that's the irony, though, because, like, I'm sure there, for every fan that does get pissed off about all these prices, there's another one just smiling happily and, you know, checking their pocketbook, you know, for more money.
Yes,
for...
Bobby Kotick, please drop your trousers.
But no, I'm just saying it kind of depends on your point of view. I mean, ultimately, yeah, they could be giving you better value for your bang for your buck. But I think because somebody's pleased still, it kind of perpetuates it until everybody's pissed. Then, you know, they're not going to have any real reason to stop.
I don't know. I guess I'm just an old fogey with video games now, I guess. You know, like I'm used to the days when, you know, I'd buy a MechWarrior and there'd be 3 expansion packs for that and it'd be fucking badass. And, like, each one would be a whole game on its own. But, I mean, I don't know. This is a different time, I guess.
Well, the other thing, too, is some people's expectations have also kind of increased. Like, remember back in the day, you'd have an expansion and it really wasn't that much different than the main game. It would just be like, oh, here's a different looking hallway with more things to kill. Nowadays, at least in terms of some genres, people are a little bit more, they expect a little bit more. So there's sometimes more work that has to go into, like, oh, now we have to have entire new sections with, like, subplots and dialogue trees. And, you know, there may be more work that goes into it that they say, like, well, we can justify this cost because, you know, we have to do more work than maybe we would have in the past for an expansion to the game. But like I said, like, it's difficult because there's so many different scenarios for how things could be justified differently. Like, the game industry is not necessarily you know, there's not like a playbook for how all of these work, you know. Like, every company kind of does what it does that's best for them, you know. Like, Valve is totally different than Activision, that's for sure.
Well, it's because they're privately owned. That's the difference, I think. I mean, look at all these companies that you know, I think that are perpetuating all the bullshit in the gaming industry. They're all publicly owned companies. And I'm not trying to be a Valve fanboy, and I know I can sound like one sometimes on this show, but I mean, they do everything right in my eyes. In my eyes, they do everything right. They treat the customer right. They give you value for your money. You know, if they're going to have DLC, then that's the way they should do it, is, you know, on Steam. But I mean, I just can't help but, you know, associate that with the fact that they are privately owned. They are not publicly sold on any stock
market.
They're
not the best example, though, just because they function differently than practically every other game developer. Like, the fact that they have Steam, which, you know, gives them sort of an unfair advantage, because I'm sure they make so much profit from that they can afford to, you know, be kinder in a sense to the customer than other people. You know, like, I don't think, I know EA is trying to do their Origin thing, but obviously they're not at a point with it where they're making a ton of money that they can, you know, give back to the community, as it were. Like, I think Valve is on this little seat of power because they have a system that works so well.
How do you think they got there in the first place?
Well, yeah, but it's because of that thing. I mean, I know it was part of Half-Life 2, but I'm just saying, like, it's become its own entity now. So it's given them a much bigger crutch to be able to go and do what they want and not necessarily have to charge, whereas other companies would feel like, look, we put a lot of man hours into this. We don't have something else to fall back on, you know, to get back our money flow, so we have to sell it. You know, once in a while, I mean, you mentioned Call of Duty, even for Black Ops, they did do that offer with this last DLC where if you had bought the Hardened or Prestige edition of the games, that DLC was essentially all free. Now, granted, some of those maps you would have technically owned, but still, that was, you know, technically a free zombie map for you if you
more zombies. God damn it!
Well, zombies are fun. I mean, not just COD zombies, but like people like zombies now. You know, you got to give the people what
people
they...
like vampires too.
Yeah, but have you noticed they don't really transition as well into games?
There's vampires are lame.
They had Vampire the Masquerade, but
that's an older game though. That was before this whole craze started.
I know, but I'm just trying to think, like, it's a more difficult thing, I think, to make a lasting, like, vampire genre in games that doesn't end up being kind of, it leaves you wanting more. Like zombies, it's so visceral and in your face. Like, oh, there's fucking undead everywhere. Gotta kill them, you know. But vampires, then you have that sort of like, you know, everyone's adopted that sort of Anne Rice kind of mentality about, like, oh, they have their society and they have all this properness. And I know that there's been kind of, I wouldn't say adjustments in how people see vampires, obviously, from Twilight.
Shh, quiet. You don't say that word on this podcast.
With the sparklies and all that.
Sparkly vampires.
But still, like, can you imagine them trying to do a fucking Twilight game? It would be terrible.
They were trying to make an MMO. They were trying to make a Twilight MMO.
Oh, God, get that away from me.
So how many Bellas are there going to be?
It's going to be like Bella 496.
Bella 496055060.
But that's the thing. Like, it doesn't, for whatever reason, at least now, it doesn't translate as well to games as zombies do.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, right. For as long as we can.
All right, vampires are lame, guys. There we go. Yeah. I think we're digressing.
Anyway, but yeah, so I think that's enough of that.
I think that David needs to talk about Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of news about handhelds.
Are you back from Tokyo, David? Did you have fun there?
I just came back from Tokyo just now.
Did you have a couple geishas? Did you eat a lot of sushi? And
oh, you bet I did.
Go buy some hentai?
I sure did.
Some Sonic hentai?
Yeah, Sonic hentai. I couldn't get enough of it on the internet.
Oh, Sonic Coon. Oh, Sonic. You're so dreamy. You're so kawaii.
Daisuki.
Kakoi.
I don't know if I left Tokyo. Jeez.
No.
I think I might still be there. So, this is sort of continuing on a topic that we had kind of delved into in a previous episode, talking about the versus game in the portable arena that's happening right now, which is... Was that the opening of Star Wars Episode 3 just now?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It does say war. That's so sad that I don't even really remember what that crawl is.
Yes. So right now, yeah, it's 3DS versus the Vita. And 3D, you know, we had mentioned in a previous episode about how it's the opposite of what we saw before, how, you know, in the beginning, PSP came out first, then the DS. And now this time it's the other way around. And so 3DS has been out for a while. I think the thing that we could start this topic with briefly is to say that in a previous episode, we had mentioned the fact that that the 3DS, you know, kind of suffering a little bit in the sales, decided to do a pretty significant price drop.
Well, suffering in terms of Nintendo's numbers, even though it did sell several million units.
so not doing as well, let's just say not doing as well as they had hoped.
Right.
And not at expectations. And so in order to hopefully remedy this, they dropped the price significantly. And now we have the advantage of...
So how much is it now?
It's been a little while. Isn't
it... 160, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's either 160 or 170.
Wow.
And actually, it's probably one. Yeah, I think you're right.
That'd be United States dollars, by the way.
Yeah. And and we've seen now that some time has passed, that apparently it's working. Their sales are up, and they are up significantly from what I understand. And so that's interesting that, like, 3DS is making a pretty good bounce back. This, of course, gives, you know, the question of, like, how is Vita going to compete with this in the price? Will now Vita be considered to pricey, will people not go for it? But before we even go down that road, it's worth mentioning that, you know, one of the reasons that the 3DS is not doing so well, and in my opinion, continues to not do so well in this particular realm, is games as launch titles. And actually, I was just talking to somebody at work today about this. They were, they're like the only person I know that has a 3DS right now. And they were telling me, they're like, yeah, man, like, they're like, I gotta say, I really love my 3DS. And even I am super disappointed in the fact that I just don't have any games for it, you know? And yeah. It's like, 'cause nothing is out. And so, you know, on the other hand, the Vita right now, the Tokyo Game Show is going on, and you know they are announcing like 18 more games right now, and some of these games have been announced are pretty rad, and one of them, which we'll mention in just a second, and by the way, related to these game announcements that are coming out, I'm sure when this game comes out, me and Colin can have an entire week's worth of podcasting, but Sonic Generations is still on the horizon. And,
I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, November 1st, by the way, they've announced an official release date.
That's right. I saw that.
Any of you Sonic fans out there that haven't learned this yet, there is a 20th anniversary edition box set that's coming out. And the super sad news is that it's only in Europe and Japan.
I think Australia.
That's it. Europe and Australia. So there's like this super kick ass like collector's box that's coming out, and it's got all kinds of cool stuff in it, including like a art book with like a bunch of, you know, previously unreleased, like I guess concept artwork and stuff like that. And it's got like a really cool power ring paperweight, I guess. It's also got like you know, modern Sonic, classic Sonic, little like maquette sort of, and of course the game. But and even the box itself is super cool, with classic and modern Sonic staring at each, doing like a stare down, and it's pretty sweet. And we, you know, us in the United States, will just never get this, never get to experience the joy of this sweet box set. That's for the 20th anniversary. Now, there is a game that has been released at Tokyo Game Show that's coming to the Vita, and it is because it is the 10th anniversary. And for any of you out there who don't feel old yet, this is sure to do it. It is the 10th anniversary of Final Fantasy X.
What'd you say, young man?
But see, that's crazy, because it's like, I would not have thought, like, it does not feel like that much time has passed.
Well, doesn't it feel like it's been 20 years since Sonic was released?
Oh, but God.
I feel like it's been a while since Sonic, but like Final Fantasy X, I just can't believe that it's been more, you know, like it feels like 5 or maybe 6 years to me. It's like, yeah, it came out a little while ago, but 10 years, a decade, really?
Wasn't that the one that you didn't play? But like you watched your friend play like the entire game.
Exactly. I mean, that's not to, you know, date ourselves, but like when I was a freshman in college, that's when that game was coming out. And when it was 2001, I was a freshman in undergrad. And that was like the most epic, like, kind of passenger seat experience I've ever had with a game of that magnitude, where my roommate just played the entire game while I did my homework. And I was just like, wow, this is rad. But it's kind of like been burned into my mind that like Final Fantasy X was popular at that time, you know? And I remember at the time, like just being freaking blown away with the graphics, but like, wow, like these cutscenes, man, they're not pre-rendered. Whoa. The fact now that, this is just a testament to like how ridiculous gaming hardware technology has gotten. The fact that like, to me, that like that blew my mind on like a major console that was possible. And now this release that's going to be on the Vita and apparently also on the PS3, they're saying, is a Final Fantasy X HD edition. So apparently, like, they're suggesting that it's going to have upgraded graphics and that it's going to look slicker. Hmm. So, like, even sweeter looking version of Final Fantasy X on a handheld, you know.
Will they add a world map?
A world map.
That's my only gripe, really. My major gripe for that game. Like, it drove me nuts how, like, there was never a world map. I mean, at one point you had technically a map you could, you know, had little dots you could, you know, click to go places. But, like, I want that whole experience. Like, I'm walking on a big-ass globe, like, in, you know, in 7 and in 6. Like
every
game, I, right.
That's true. Did 8 have that as well?
Yeah.
It did.
It had a world map.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh, okay.
Even 9 did, I think.
Well, I would expect.
I think 9 did as well later in the game.
Yeah, so they just broke it with 10 for some reason. I don't know why. And never really regained, because I think, well, 12 was kind of different because it was like an offline 11.
Right.
I know somebody's going to kill me for saying that. But...
you're going to get so many Tumblr.
Here come the fangirls. You're talking about the fangirls.
Oh,
here they come.
Yeah. I actually, with the guy characters in 12, I believe that. I totally believe that.
Rage.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You're going to get a tsunami of rage.
Thankfully, I don't draw any of that shit.
Oh,
but anyway.
You told them about Kawhi.
Give it to me. No, but yeah, so I wish they had that. But that's crazy, 10 years.
Yeah, unbelievable, right? So like, yeah, there's that. I'm a bad co-host for not having the complete lineup of newly announced games, but I think that TGS is actually still in progress because I was looking just earlier to see if there have been any other awesome Vita announcements, and everything else that they've been showing so far has just been the regular stuff, like Ridge Racer Vita, Super Monkey Ball Vita.
Super Monkey Ball.
Ridge Racer.
What's this? Do you not like Ridge Racer?
No, you don't remember. Oh, do you know about that meme, the Ridge Racer meme? Where when they first announced, I think was it the first announcement of PSP?
I don't know.
I can't remember. This is way back in the day, one of the Sony keynotes. At E3, like years and years ago, where I forget the name of the dude. Oh my God,
was
I can't.
Was it Reggie?
No. Reggie's Nintendo.
Oh yeah, it was. Shit.
What happened? Anyway, he's trying to get the crowd excited about a Ridge Racer game on a handheld, and he's holding it up, and he's going in completely no real tone to his voice. Hey, it's Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer. Like, really? Is that you being excited? Wow, okay.
Somehow missed this whole...
This was quite a while ago. But, no, it just reminds me now, every time they mention a Ridge Racer at a keynote. Oh, God.
Forever in there. So, yeah, it's that's going to be coming out. And, of course, the graphics are just unbelievably impossible for a handheld.
Okay.
And
I saw some video of the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the Vita. It looks great. I mean, of course, you know, it's never going to look exactly like the PS3. But the thing that impresses me that I was telling you guys before was that the leap from PSP to Vita is so monumental, especially compared to the, like, graphically from the DS to the 3DS, if you're not counting the 3D effect, is really kind of minimal. Like, I was watching a video review of the Star Fox game.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's still, you know, it's all right. And it's,
I mean,
on a
it blows away. It even blows away that, in my opinion, the Nintendo 64 version, though. Like, I think that the update that it gets on the 3DS is pretty monumental.
Yeah. Well, like
if you really compare those two side by side, I'm pretty impressed with it. I was like, dang, like, that's pretty rad.
Imagine what it could have been like if it had Vita level graphics and in 3D. Like, it's over, right? That would just be over.
Yeah.
So I do kind of wish the 3DS had been given a little more oomph, you know? But,
In the defense of the 3DS, like, there's, anytime you incorporate 3D graphics into a video game, you are taxing the graphics processor like crazy.
Right.
Because you are processing like technically you're processing at least 60i, if not like 120 frames per second,
mm-hmm.
because you know you're doing, you know, for games that are supposed to feel like 60 fps, like you're pumping out 120, so like the graphics processor is taking a major hit, and it's in those cases, this is why you see like, you know, for on PS3 downloads, like games like Super Stardust, you know, that are now being re-released in 3D, and they make it a huge selling point where they're like, dude, this game still runs at 60 frames per second, and it's in 3D, you know? And it's in HD, like it's able to like somehow shatter through all those processing, like major processing heads. And so I imagine, like, I'm thinking that this might be the reason why the 3DS, like, this release doesn't have as awesome as graphics as we would expect, as opposed to the Nintendo DS, which, in my opinion, there was no excuse for those graphics to be as crappy as they were.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that was just, like, and we talked about this before, how, in the end, 3DS, or Nintendo DS was still the victor, but at the time, it was like, oh, man, like, PSP graphics just decimate everything that's on the Nintendo DS. It was,
well,
just, you know,
it came,
especially embarrassing when the same game came out on both, and it was
yeah.
like, oh no.
Yeah, it looks so much worse. And then they would have to also involve some kind of stylus action, which usually sucks.
Yeah, which was disappointing.
It was always
in the first place.
Shit. All the games I played was always shit. Except Cooking.
Anybody who wants, I think the most extreme example of this was Burnout, when they did Burnout Legends on PSP, and then the same game, Burnout Legends, on Nintendo DS, it was literally like comparing.
Wasn't that
like a
top-down, like really tiny car kind of format?
Yeah, absolutely. It was crap. Like it seriously made the Nintendo DS look like an Atari. Like the leap, like the distance in quality of the graphics was super funny. It's like, oh no, like how could this possibly be the same game?
But I think now that I think about the game types, like I think maybe that's the reason why the DS kind of got a little bit more ahead of the PSP, because they always kind of kept in mind, like, yeah, the graphics and stuff suck, but in terms of the games themselves, they were always very readily accessible games. Like, oh, I can pick it up and play something really quick, and then just either pause it, like, you know, by closing it, or like, you know, just save right here and whatever. Because a lot of the games, like my brother had a PSP, has one, and a lot of them felt more like full games. Like if you played Battlefront, or they had that Resistance Retribution game, those kind of things. Like it just feels like you need to actually set aside time and sit down and play it. Where, you know, if you're on a long, like in Japan, if you're on like a long train ride home or something, okay, that makes sense. But in a lot of places around here, it's like go, go, go. Like, I think that's why Bejeweled and those other games make so much money and also have so many fans, because you can play it for like a minute and feel kind of satisfied that you did something, and then run off and do whatever you're, you know, whatever you're balancing. You're like, oh, I gotta go to the store, and then I gotta do this. Oh, wait, but I can like sneak a little bit of gaming in between that. But you can't do it if you're playing like Metal Gear Portable Ops on PSP, because it's like, shit, I have to finish this whole level and then I could turn it off, because otherwise I'm going to feel like, fuck, like I need to finish it. So,
well, I mean, you said it best with the clamshell effect on the Nintendo DS, how like they totally hit a home run with the fact, and it's doubly so, exactly what you're saying. The fact that like the PSP, man, when you load a game into that thingy, it's just like, okay, you gotta, there's the time investment of this absurdly long load times that the PSP has, but also, yeah, there's just no good way to put that thing to sleep successfully, you know, like to do it well. And on the Nintendo DS, man, oh man, you could just slap that thing shut, and it was no question. Like, oh, it is in sleep mode now, and when I could come back to it, it'll instantly load. You know.
Well, that's something I hope that they have in consideration for the Vita. Like, at least to either have a sleep mode that's very easy to activate for any game, or for even the game developers to kind of keep in mind that these are people. It's handheld. These are people on the go. So we need to give at least some kind of quick save or something so that they can just really pick it up and then put it back down as they need it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, absolutely, they might have the same problem that PSP had, because despite it having beautiful graphics and, you know, amazing specs for what it is, if people think it's kind of like, oh, I'm carrying a mini PS3 that I have to deal with, it may seem a little less appealing to them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll see. I mean, I can't wait to, I have yet to get my hands on one to just try it. So I'm sure.
So cool.
I hope it is. Like, I hope it does well, because they are trying to put a lot of value in one little package, and either it could really work out for them or really blow up in their face. Yeah. So
no, I think it'll do super well. I mean, like, it seems like they've got just like such a killer lineup, and I mean, again, we mentioned this in an older podcast where I think PSP had just completely buckled under the pressure of no games, you know, like
PSP has no games.
Well, I think PSP in the beginning had maybe a few sweet games, and then like, I mean, I'm a PSP owner, and I thought that the game library was not that great. And
yeah, it had a big ass dry spell kind of in the middle.
Yeah,
where these games were technically coming out, but I didn't feel compelled to get them, especially if they were part of a series that I already had on a home console.
Right.
And if, you know, like I was saying before, if it plays like one of those full games, it makes you think like, well, if I'm going to be sitting down and playing this for a long period of time, why don't I just play it on the console?
Right. You know? Yeah, true. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
You said, I think it's just made for different people.
Right.
DS is made for people on the go.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of what a handheld is to people these days.
Yeah, well.
Smartphones, you know, other like BlackBerry's handheld devices, like people need something that is quick and accessible. Yeah. And maybe, I mean, the Game Boy, you know, back in the day, the big toaster sized one. Like,
ooh, I love that thing.
Yeah, you couldn't really just turn it off. Like, you probably lose whatever progress you made on it. But I think the issue is the mentality of what a handheld means to a person has changed, because, you know, people are so much more of a on-the-go society nowadays, because things are smaller and, you know, oh, I could do like three things at once now compared to, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That they have to consider that. It's a valid valid issue for them.
Like, the most popular games are like the ADD games. Like,
yeah.
like Angry Birds.
WarioWare back in the day was great, because it's like, oh, 5 second or like 5-10 second games.
Dude, yeah, I still love WarioWare.
You're talking about ADD, I'm playing Jetpack Joyride while I'm talking to right now. I'm dead serious.
What a host.
Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Anyway.
I can do both.
Until he starts, like, swearing and going like, oh, shit.
Oh,
what the
shit,
hell, man?
I mean,
I never do that.
About video games, yeah. But no,
I love video games.
I think once the two systems have been out for a while, like 3DS is still kind of like, I kind of don't even count it as being out, because there's really no games for it. So
yeah.
in the back of my head, once the Vita comes out, that should be more than enough time for at least some games to have trickled into the 3DS, and I'll be able to better gauge, like, let's see how these two do now from this starting point.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's the fun thing, is that this podcast, actually, this episode, like, it'll be fun to look back on this.
I was.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'll be on this show again, just being like, well, guys, I had high hopes for the Vita, but dude, no, it's the worst system ever.
We're like, Sonic Generations, why?
Well,
yeah,
why?
Sonic Generations. The biggest...
You know what, David? It's going to happen, and you know it.
No, let's not go there.
No, Colin, though, did you play the demo for it?
No, I haven't yet.
It's the fact that we were able to actually try it, I think, speaks volumes for this Sonic
Let's reserve judgment. We'll reserve judgment.
Well, it couldn't be any worse than some of the previous ones. I'll say that right now. Even from what little I played, like, there's just no way it could be as bad as something.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2006.
Oh god, like that shall not be named. Doesn't even have a real name. Isn't that funny? Does.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I know, but like, so, it sounds so generic. The other thing's always like Sonic and something something, or Sonic with a number, you know?
Sonic and the Black Knight.
Yeah.
Sonic and the Shit-O-Rama.
And the shitty.
That sounds like a fun game.
And the
in it. Let's call Yuji Naka. Let's get him back on board with Sonic.
Oh, God. He's off doing other things.
Sonic and the Shit-O-Rama. Sonic and the Shit-O-Rama.
That would be the Secret Rings. The
Well, let's be honest.
Shit-O-Rama. Sonic and the Shit-O-Rama.
Okay. I think you're a little too pleased with how that sounds, too.
Like,
it's like, yeah, I like that. I'm going to say it again.
I am. You want me to say it again?
No, that's. I think we can.
Right. On our website, after this episode comes out, there's a soundboard that we'll have available.
Oh, with, God.
Oh, yeah.
It'll just be that button.
Yeah.
It'll be the big red button that Gabe's going to push. Shit-O-Rama.
And then one of those like I feel lucky buttons, but it still just plays that. It won't even do a random of anything.
It'll just have Izzy going, but anyway.
God. Everybody has that one phrase that they say where they want to link something together and their brain just instantly goes to that.
Oh,
and I guess that's mine. But anyway. No, seriously, guys, I think that's pretty decent for today. If any of our listeners have any comments about what we've discussed today, or have any suggestions or questions, feel free to email us at nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll happily read your emails.
Oh, we love reading emails.
What's better than emails, huh?
Oh, you know what's better than emails? Or getting emails that give you death threats. I love those ones.
I'll just send those to you then.
That's... I can't say I've ever received one, but I hope I do now.
Oh, God.
You hear that, listeners?
That's such a weird request. Anyway, but if you want to do that for Colin, just send it to nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com. We also...
Colin.
Yes, attention Colin in bold, please, just so I don't get confused.
So she doesn't call the FBI on my behalf.
Oh, God. Well, you're a big boy. You can.
I'm 25 now. It was my birthday last week.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. I'm a big boy. I'm 25.
Yeah, you're getting there.
You're still a young one.
A youngling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said youngin.
I thought you said youngling.
Could the younglings, you did.
Do I really seem like someone that would say that? No.
I don't know. Sometimes.
No. Izzy would.
Yeah.
No, why would I say younglings? It's retarded.
You're 200% more likely to say it than I am.
These arbitrary numbers. Anyway. We're also, our podcast is also on iTunes, so you can look us up and subscribe there for easy listening. We have a website, of course, that I also post podcast show notes to, so in case we mention anything hilarious.
InTheNameOfGame.com?
Which is all the time. Yeah, InTheNameOfGame.com.
All one word, right? No hyphens?
Yeah. No hyphens. Hyphens are stupid.
Hyphens are for shitheads. Fuck all y'all.
They're for
shitheadoos.
And then someone goes to InTheNameOfGame.com, and when they hit it, they notice that the blog spot actually has all the hyphens.
Oh, yeah.
I think it does it automatically.
That's what I had to do back in the day, because you'd be surprised how many people use a similar kind of phrase for their blog spots.
They're shitheads, too.
just
call everybody that.
Everybody's a shit.
No, except for
our listeners aren't shit.
Wonderful people.
Our listeners are super great.
But wait, did you know there's another podcast I'm on?
Oh, right. I forgot.
Did you know about it? Oh, yeah. You forgot about it, didn't you?
So Colin moonlights on
almost,
the podcast.
Almost got away with it, didn't
right.
Yeah, you thought you could forget, but you didn't.
Shucks, foiled again. Why don't you tell them about the podcast?
Well, it's just another video game podcast, a little different format. We focus more on news instead of discussion. I'm on another podcast called Attack of the Killer Keyboard, and you can go to it at killerkeyboard.com, and it'll also send you to a blog spot. It's also on iTunes. You want to search for Attack of the Killer Keyboard. I'm on there once in a while, usually when their other guy is missing, which happens quite a lot, what I understand. So, yeah, you should listen to that as well.
Do they have, for some reason, when you mention that phrase, it reminds me of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. So I couldn't help.
Oh, sure, I didn't name it.
I couldn't help thinking of like that theme song they have for Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, but like with that phrase, Attack of the Killer Keyboards. Did you ever watch the cartoon?
I never watched the cartoon, but I knew about it.
Yeah, I used to have that song stuck in my head. Not the keyboard one, but the tomato one.
Well, now you have the keyboard one stuck in your head.
Well, they should make that as a theme song then, and it'll get stuck in everybody's head. That's just a suggestion. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Yeah. Anyway, enjoy games, have fun. See you guys next time. Bye.
Later.
So long.